Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Are we ready to go this morning? All right. It's already mid-semester. We're getting ready to roll into the winter, and I'm looking forward to it. I hope all of you are looking forward to a great day today. We've got a great speaker with us in person today. This is going to be a lot of fun. I just want to make sure that, as a reminder, everybody remembers, sign in by either checking at the door, do your virtual check-in by completing the Google form, and as you can see below, there's the link for the Granicus live stream page. I also want to make sure that I give kudos to our PD team. They work very diligently and very hard to make sure that your flex days are on point. So please give a great hand to Blaine Augustin, Dominic Dittmeyer, Bobby Ford McCormick, Tessa Henderson Brown, Jennifer Kinzel, Alexandria Layton, Tracy Massengale, Pam Mary, Nathaniel Lawless Steele, and Elena Wong. All right? Thank you, everybody.
And thank you, William.
Oh, and that William Mosley guy, too. Anyways, right now I'm going to introduce our chancellor, Dr. Kimberly Messina.
Short people. Is it on? Yeah. Good morning. I feel like I'm in kindergarten again. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning.
Teddy. Welcome to those in person. I'm hoping you're enjoying the coffee, the tea, the breakfast sandwiches, the bagels, the, you know, pastries. That's just to make the people online jealous. So just so you know. Happy to see you all. Today is Flex Day, and we invite everyone to join this inspiring plenary session from 9 to 10:30 with Dr. Kevin Kelly. And this session is all about reimagining leadership and transformative opportunities to create for our students. By working in unison, we can improve institutional equity, improve operations, and build community partnerships. Let's embrace this opportunity today. And without further ado, I want to give our speaker, Dr. Kevin Kelly, a special gift, which is City at 90, and welcome him.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you so much, Chancellor, and welcome everybody, both in person and online. Those of you who don't know me, I do have a book about teaching flexible courses. I'm just going to set up my slides here. And I'm guessing that the folks online can also see the slides too? Okay, great. All right, so when I first was invited to come speak, I had lots of thoughts in my head because I've actually spoken at Flex Day at City College before. I've also been engaged with you all through the Association of College and University Educators. I get around. Right now, my role is as the executive director of the California Community Colleges Digital Center. The long name, if you want, it's one of the longest names for a center ever, the Digital Center for Innovation, Transformation, and Equity. And that is important to me, the equity component, not only because it's one of the themes for Flex Day today, but it's been kind of a theme throughout my work. If you've read any of my books, you can see that. And so I was really excited to come and speak with you all today. When I heard about the different strands that you all are going to pursue in the Flex Day, I thought, hey, let's not give a talk that you've already given. Let's see if there's a way to weave these strands together. So that became my challenge. And I came up with an outline that was probably 5 to 7 pages long, and that's just the outline. So I'm confessing in public that I asked Gemini to help me tighten it up because I only have 90 minutes and I don't want to bore you to tears. I also asked Gemini to help me find California Community College examples of some of the things that I'm talking about, because even though I've worked around the country, I want you all to see things that are happening here in the state. And especially in my new role as executive director, I felt it was only appropriate, right? So first and foremost, before we get started, I know we have a microphone in the room, and those of you online, I want you to be thinking of this as well. How do you define equity? Think of two, three words that pop into your head when you think of the word equity. And then raise your hand if you have ideas, and we'll shout them out. Words that you associate with equity. It doesn't have to be a definition, just...
Fairness.
I hear fairness.
Access.
Opportunities.
Outcomes.
Removing barriers. Removing barriers. Nice.
Multivariance.
Multifarious.
Oh, okay. I'm going to need a dictionary for that one. Multifarious. Others, yes.
Social justice.
Avoiding othering. Okay. So we have a lot of fantastic words that we associate with equity. Again, because some of you may know that I worked with the Peralta Community College District for about 7 years, helped them put together their distance education plan that had equity as one of their two core values. And then we came up with the first of its kind online equity rubric, and we'll talk about that later. But what I loved is they started by defining equity operationally. And they read in the dictionary that equity means freedom from bias, and that didn't do enough for them. So they, in the distance education context, came up with a definition that equity for them means freedom from bias, assumptions, or institutional barriers, as we heard over here, that negatively impact online learners' motivations, opportunities, another one we heard, or accomplishments. Then I wanted to dive deeper and see, is there a City College of San Francisco definition? In your student equity plan, equity is defined as promoting just and fair inclusion, creating conditions in which everyone can participate, prosper, and reach their full potential. So I think everything that you all shared fits within these larger broad scope definitions or ideas, but it's helpful to get a common way of looking at the world before we dive into what are examples of institutional equity. So some general ideas that, again, I've seen in my own practice or found evidence of online is shifting our mentality from fixing students to fixing the systems that support the students. It's a mental shift, right? It's a culture shift. And so here it might be, let's look at what policies have typically not led to equity. What policies have maybe even increased or widened achievement gaps that might be equity-based? Also, if we're teachers, how many of us in the room are teachers? If you're online, I'm hoping you're raising your hand right now because you're in the room too, virtually. Asset-based pedagogy asks us to tell students that we value all the contributions that they bring to the classroom. We're not going to look at it from a deficit-based mentality, but an asset-based mentality to see what every student brings as a strength. So then, again, because I know that this day is not only about institutional equity and strengthening partnerships and improving operations, but it's also about increasing students' mobility, whether that be social mobility, financial mobility, what have you. So I wanted to tie some of these collaborative activities that we all can do to what might an outcome, as the chancellor said, be for mobility. So students, we hope that we're increasing their ability to progress through their studies, and also supporting completion of specific courses that might act as gateways, that might act as barriers. So another idea is providing a holistic, I gotta figure out a better way so I'm not turning away from you all, holistic student support. And so again, fostering a cross-functional approach. Imagine if you will, when you go to the doctor. Right now, it's starting to shift where we have health portfolios, right? We talk to the nurse practitioner before the doctor comes in the room. She types lots of notes. I just had my shoulder injected with cortisone because it's been bugging me for 2 years. And he finally said, let's just knock this out. But he had, getting an echo from this spot here, a voice recorder, AI, or maybe it was a person on the other side, I never learned, taking notes for him. And I had to say, are you okay with those people taking notes? But every little artifact of our health journey gets put in this portfolio so the next person doesn't have to ask us all the same questions. How many of you have been on the phone with some person you're asking for help and they say, type in your account number, beep, 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 beep. What's the first question they ask when you get on the phone? Can you give me your account number? I just typed it in. You should already have this. So we need to start thinking about when we're helping students on their journey, how do we make them feel like they're more of a community than a number? In my own dissertation research way back in 2009, I interviewed community college students who were transferring to higher ed four-year institutions. And one of the most common themes was that at the community college, they felt like a member of a community. People knew their name. They felt like they could ask questions without being stigmatized for not knowing the answers. As soon as they got to a larger four-year university, they felt like a number, a sheep. These are their words. They felt like they weren't quite sure if they belonged. And so we're here at a community college. Let's keep doing that work. But are there ways that we can keep improving? Continuous improvement, right? So thinking about that health portfolio, is there a way that we can have a student support portfolio where we all use Navigate, EAB Navigate, or whatever tool City College uses for the student support staff, and even faculty can chime in and say, hey, I think this student may be struggling. I want to make sure that they find a tutor. I want to make sure that they find a student peer who could guide them through this program, whatever the case may be. That type of activity, that type of approach would foster student mobility, address non-academic barriers, maybe even including basic needs, and increase their semester-to-semester completion. I know Grace was talking about how she's looking at using technology to help us identify where do students drop out, where are the points where students run into trouble. And if we have that data, then we can proactively support those students rather than wait for them to not show up, wait for them to ask for help. The last big picture idea around institutional equity is, are we using data to drive our decisions? And so you can see, and I'll have an example of this in a second, how do we disaggregate the data so that we're identifying if certain populations are maybe being affected in ways that the general population is not? Are we identifying courses, programs, or modalities that are impacting student success in some way, either positively or negatively? And are we looking for solutions either for ourselves? Hey, you are here at Flex Day. You are trying to improve your own craft. You're trying to make sure that you're supporting students in every way you can. We can also find ways to support those students, right? Again, I bring up tutoring, but it could be access to library faculty and staff. It could be access to a counselor or even just mental health support if they're feeling anxiety due to the world at large or because they're having a test today, whatever the case may be. So preventing students from having to step away from their studies, finding ways that, again, this data can support us in supporting them. As it sounds a little bit like that movie, Help Me, Help You. It's Jerry Maguire, right? But also, again, back to that one big goal, how do we reduce those equity-based achievement gaps? So I've got a question for you all, because I don't like sit and listen experiences, so I try not to yammer on at you for more than 10 or 15 minutes. So lay it on me. What strategies have you been using here at City College of San Francisco to increase equity, to foster equity, or which ones are you imagining but are just getting off the ground or are just planning? Yes, sir. There's a microphone coming your way so that the folks online can hear you.
Oh, okay. Good morning. I believe that with us implementing the student basic needs and having food for the students that may not have, you know, the ability to pay for food, and then also the child care center. So I think a lot of things that we're doing and have done have worked to support the students as far as institutional equity. Thank you.
Thank you.
We've used data. We've been looking at it for quite some time now to try to make sure that we are scheduling, putting them in the appropriate spots, trying to make sure that we're reaching the students as best as possible.
Fantastic. So we've got an example of meeting them where they are. They might be parents, so the child care becomes really important. They might be hungry, so the basic needs, the food pantries. And here we have evidence that you all are following the example of what we're seeing across the country, using the data to help inform supporting students. Other ideas of what you're doing now here at City College of San Francisco or what you plan to do?
One of the things that we did, and Lisa Romano was helped to launch this, was the EASE, so that we could, that we were looking at all of our centers and that all of our centers could actually give all of the programs or most of the programs that you see here at Ocean.
Thank you for sharing that. Got a hand over here and one in the back.
Hi, I'm Jim Wong. I'm a counselor at City College. There are two things I'd like to talk about. One is, you touched upon it. I think it would be wonderful if we were able to provide childcare at all of our locations, because there's a whole population of parents that we lock out. I know at John Adams, we did have a childcare center, and that fed a lot of students into our non-credit ESL, our non-credit business. I think it encouraged single parents to enroll in our high school program when it was there. And so when we took that away, as well as the programs, we lost a big piece of the community nearby. And I think that's probably true for all of our locations. I think we overlook working parents. And I think we could really be a real community college if we can accommodate their need, in addition to parking. And the other thing is, I think making our identity known in our own communities, in our high schools. Our high schools, you know, traditionally have been a real steady feeder to City College for for decades. But that's a relationship that I'm really concerned about, that is getting thinner and thinner. And I think that's an investment that we need to, I hope that we could, you know, invest and put, assign City College staff people to high schools. And I've talked to other community colleges in the Bay Area, and they have very successful high school programs. And part of that is the investment that they put City College staffers at the high schools. And they provide, you know, immediate information. They provide, they assist people how to navigate our bureaucracy. And so those would be two investments that I would love to see our college invest in. I think that would help us considerably. Thank you.
Thank you. And there's one in the back. We love it.
Okay, so the other thing that I believe that we've worked on and what we're being successful in as far as the institutional equity is allowing the students to sit at the tables, to have their input, to have their voice. So our new student equity plan for the 2025-28 school year is beautifully put together, and you get more of what the students feel. So they get a chance and opportunity to feel included. They feel like they have a voice, and then they get to have relationships with faculty, administrators, you know, and things like that. So I think that's another good thing that we're doing this year. Thank you.
Absolutely. Having student voice included in the conversations is critical. And so maybe we'll go with one more idea before we move on.
So I'm just going to give a shout out to our Office of Student Equity that has really done a remarkable job of putting together professional development and publicizing it in a newsletter so the Equity News gets circulated college-wide. It has not only the PD opportunities that are cultivated for faculty and staff. There's a lot that speaks to students, and you know they're very engaged with student populations and very and students in different ways. And so I think that we would be remiss if we're answering this question without really giving a shout out to the work there, which includes equity roadshows to the departments that bring their disaggregated data and really help them to think deeply about what they're seeing in their own department with regard to equity.
Fantastic, thanks. That's a good one to end on. So I'm gonna show some examples now of California community colleges that have tried different approaches. Some of them you may be doing now. I'm not as familiar with City College of San Francisco, but here, reforming remediation. This first example is from 2017, and this last one's from last year. But the idea being that creating co-requisites instead of using remedial courses, and I know that there's legislation that helped drive that, right? But the strategies for approaching it, in the case of Sacramento City College, having faculty from the English department pair with the Umoja program to infuse history and culture that are important to African-American and Black students so that they can succeed. They saw a 5-time increase in completion of those required courses in 1 year. So to me, that's an example of taking an equity-focused approach and seeing remarkable success. East LA College, similarly, abolished the English and math remedial courses and moved to personalized tutoring and support structures. And so again, these are strategies that you may be employing here, but if this gives you any ideas that you might think about, again, continuous improvement, we're never fully there yet. Earlier I mentioned Peralta Community College District, and you can see this chart here is the disaggregated data for online learning. The narrow bars are the online learners and the thicker pale bars are the face-to-face learners. But you can see that there's been an increase over a 10-year period for every population from Asian, Black, and African-American, Hispanic, Latinx, and white. But there's still disparities between the groups. And the disparities have started shrinking, but there's still a 20% difference between some of these populations. So they've been making efforts, but some of the faculty have pointed out that while training has been made available from time to time, there's not always consistent funding for faculty course redesign or supporting faculty to step back and take a hard look at their own course and the strategies that they might employ to improve success for every student. But that is something that they continue to work on, and they've been looking to the world. They've now, for 5 years, held an international virtual conference that's free. Usually it's at the end of April, early May. So if you're looking on the web with nothing to do next April, check out the conference, but maybe in early April, late March, you'll consider sharing some of the strategies that you all are using here at City College and be speakers at the conference. Palo Verde College has worked with the State Department of Corrections to increase the number of justice-impacted students that they serve. So they're up to now about 3,000 students who are inmates, and they are working to support those students. You can see that they even met the students where they were because they couldn't use the computer at certain times, so they accepted the registration for classes via pencil and paper. And they had somebody type it in so that they could get those students into the classes. They also made sure that every instructor teaching this population went through training so that they would be ready for online teaching and learning strategies to support the students from these different prisons around the state. So another group, Long Beach City College and Reedley College, they joined a community of practice specifically to address the needs of parenting students. So I know we heard in the back that City College of San Francisco takes that population very seriously. In this case, they worked with a consulting group that was working throughout the state, and they developed plans on how they could find at least two policies or practices that they would want to change that would benefit parenting students. So again, looking at specific data and making decisions based on that. So that's our first category of institutional equity. Again, the next theme from Flex Day today is improving operations. So as I did before, what are some words or values or ideas that you associate with the concept of continuous improvement or improving operations here at City College of San Francisco? It can be whatever your role is as a faculty member, a staff member, a campus college leader. What would you associate with the idea of improvement or operations? We have in the back. We love active participation.
It's me again.
Yes, please, please, please.
So I think really, I'm sorry, I'm staff here at City College. And I believe with improving operations is better communication. Because when some things change, everybody is not informed. So it's like you have to go from one person to another person to another person to get the answers that you're looking for. So I think better communication from, you know, higher up or those who have that information to spread it, or, you know, just open up and let us get this information, because it is really can be aggravating for me to try to do my job the best way I can, but I don't know how, and I don't like that under my title, right? So it's like, open up. If you know this information, it's not that I want your job. It's just I need to do mine. That's it. So I think communication is the number one.
And spread the information on time. Because usually we're the last ones to receive this information, whatever it is, and we look like fools in front of our students. Bad.
So that's a fantastic example. And I was saying before up at the food truck, employers today are looking for four critical skills in students today. Critical thinking, communications, number two. Now, the communication that you both bring up, timeliness is a factor, as well as communication is a two-way street. How many of us get emails that we say, oh, that's just a newsletter, and don't read it? So sometimes the word may have been sent out, but it's in a format that we've grown accustomed to saying, I'll get to that later, and that later never comes. I was telling William that it's been 15 years since I've taken a vacation, and that later has not come for me. But I think that the communication, if there's an active interest in improving communication, it's maybe a multi-channel approach. So that maybe it's not always via email, maybe there's an online space, a threaded discussion in Canvas just for staff and faculty to get the word out. But again, also having an expectation, what's the call to action? Is this just an FYI or is this an SOS? How do we make sure we know when the information that's being sent out is important, and how do we find it again? Because if it's just a bunch of emails, I know my Google account, it's filled. So I have to delete from 2012 backwards. And if that information came back then, I no longer have it. So how do we keep things in an archived state so it's easy to find, it's searchable? So these aspects of communication are important. I see a hand up with more ideas for improvement. Hold on, there's a microphone coming your way.
Coordination between buildings and grounds and classroom schedule. We start teaching a class and they're pounding on the roof. They're mowing the lawn right outside the window. They're unloading at the dock. They're making improvements at the daytime. And I know some of those things could be done maybe in the afternoon with our fewer classes scheduled, but it's hard to teach when Buildings and Grounds has their own schedule and we faculty have to speak louder or work over. So coordination between Buildings and Grounds or work has to be done, needs to be done, but also time when faculty are teaching. Thank you.
I think I saw another hand somewhere. Yes. Jen's going to get her steps today.
I just wanted to repeat word for word something you said, which was consistent funding for faculty course redesign, which is money is time also. And I think you mentioned time and distraction and how hard it is to do that focus. So that kind of course redesign, not alone as individuals who might not read a newsletter, but as coordinated departmental faculty redesign with the consistent support to do it.
Fantastic. Other ideas? Here's a hand.
This is connected to strengthening partnerships.
Okay.
And as a faculty member, over the years I've developed relationships with the counseling department. So there are people that I know and have had relationships with for decades. And that has improved, I guess, just facilitating services for students and overall operations. I also worked in matriculation office, so I know people there. So having these warm relationships really helps facilitate, like, just student success. Because I know people, I have information. If I don't know something, I know who to go to. So just developing closer relationships with one other human in a different department has really helped, like my job and I guess in student services jobs. So
thank you, and thank you for helping me point out that I used a Venn diagram on purpose. There's overlap between these three categories that you all chose for your flex day. So improving operations can be done by creating partnerships. I may ask you to reiterate some aspects of what you just described, but when we get to the next section. But the idea being that we can be intentional about it, right? We don't have to wait for partnership opportunities to arise. We can go seek them out. And so the idea of working with counselors is just one example. Maybe one more idea of improvements that you all are making or want to make here at City College of San Francisco. Here's a hand in the back.
Hi. Seamless integration of all, like, our forms and all the, you know, that you can go to one portal and get access to everything from HR to curriculum. I mean, some of it is there, but not all of it is there. And like, not all of the forms we need are in Adobe Sign in the proper way, but just that, like, everything we need is in one place and it's intuitive and easy to get there and requires one password and it's all there. And it works.
All right, well, I think we can get that done by the end of the day, right? All right, so, and I can hear the online folks chiming in. These were all fantastic ideas. Thank you for sharing. All right, so what are some ways that we can consider improving operations? Again, thinking about student mobility as the driver. And one is, are the pathways we're creating for students easy to navigate? And so before I even get into this, you know, examples general in particular, when I was at San Francisco State for 13 years, there was a program through the campus. It was called, let's see now. That was 2011, so you have to go through the memory banks. Basically, we had a program at San Francisco State where the native students who started as first year went through this program in a cohort. But there was also a cohort at City College of San Francisco in the same program designed to automatically transfer afterwards. And they had specific discipline focus. So even the general education courses had, they were infused with the language for healthcare, for early childhood education, whatever the topic would be. I think they're up to like 12 different areas now. But the idea being that it's not just you need to learn algebra before you can move on, but we're going to say, hey, if you're a nurse and you have 2 units of blood and the person needs 3, how many are left? You know, it makes it more meaningful. We're not learning these abstract. He's laughing because my idea was a little simple, but there were some raccoons last night keeping me up. So that example from City College and from San Francisco State was an idea of creating cohorts where students go through with peers. They can rely on those peers for ideas. They can ask them, hey, I didn't see this on the syllabus. Do you have an answer? It also gives them a way that they can track their progress, whether it be through a program mapping tool or just a piece of paper that says, hey, highlight this in yellow once you've completed this course, this element of a course, this signature assignment, you name it. On the mobility side, that means students have a personalized learning path from the start. It doesn't mean it can't change. Now we're seeing tools like the Program Mapper tool that I think Bakersfield College has been using and others, where basically the student says, hey, I just learned about this career path. What courses have I taken that helped me get there, and what courses are left that I need to take? Now some of those tools are being integrated with artificial intelligence, which makes them even smarter, maybe too smart. But the idea that students can avoid taking unnecessary units, they can save time and money to reach the goals that they have, whether they be academic or work-related. Another one is making processes more consistent. And so we heard some ideas around those here. And whether it be make sure everything that you need is in one place and easy to find, or it might be using cross-institutional efforts to achieve specific tasks, like right now the whole state's engaged in Common Course numbering, right? That's no easy task. And a lot of colleges might be sitting back and saying, hey, let's let some other colleges do this work and figure it out, and we'll hop on board when it's all done. But then that may leave you at a disadvantage because you and your students may not have had a say in how easy it is to transfer or how easy it is to switch between colleges here in the Bay Area. One of the students I interviewed for my dissertation went to 5 different community colleges before she got her AA. She jumped to San Jose State to become a nurse, but her reason for jumping from college to college, it was the closest college next to where she was working that semester. That was the only reason that she kept switching colleges, not because she wanted to, but it was the closest one to her job that semester. So we have to figure out, how do we create consistent processes, whether they be within the 9 campuses here at City College or within the network of California community colleges in the state. And then that helps our students make smoother transitions, helps them become prepared either to jump into the workforce or jump over to a 4-year program. And that 4-year program might be right here at City College, right? Because now some of those are being offered at community colleges. So, gonna put the microphone back in your hands. You talked about things that you're hoping for, things that are on your wish list. Are there things that you've already done here at City College of San Francisco to improve operations? Who was involved in the process? Did you use any specific tools to do that? What are some successes or some success in action?
I'd say one of the clear successes is the Success Center. Innumerable people involved in the process bring that to fruition. But talking about bringing everything making everything available in one place, online and so forth, well, that physically has brought things together so people have direct access to the kind of help they need. And it's, you know, just it's really an amazing accomplishment.
Thanks for sharing that. Other ideas. Here's one over here.
I know it's been several years now, but the improving the website so that it became more student friendly, and we also and I guess employees also had their own, I guess the intro web for our own processes, but having separate, like the front facing for the students, and then for operations for the college. I think that really helped tremendously. Just improving the technology with the website. I'm just thinking about how horrible it was before. But
well, that's important, right? It's your public facing calling card, if you will. I know when interviewing students in the Colorado Community College system, some adult students in their 30s and 40s said, I don't see myself on my college website. It looks like they really only want high school students wearing backpacks, but I'm a parent of two children who works full time. I don't see any pictures depicting me on the website. So there's always room for improvement, right? That was an eye-opener for that college in Colorado, because they had thought they had done a good job of making a diverse set of representation in their photos, but they had only focused on one aspect of diversity. So
I'd like to mention DegreeWorks as something that really speaks to one of your earlier points about having a tool that students can use and with counselors. And so I think that has really made it a lot easier for students to really understand what their education plan is. And then we have a completion center that really focuses on auto petitions, so using those data effectively to identify students and then helping them to understand that they, you know, have completed the requirements for a certificate, and you know, working to expand that. So I think that is something that has been a big improvement for us.
Fantastic. And I can imagine that the outreach component of that is important. How many students do we know who may have reached enough units to get a certificate, even if their goal is an AA or an AS, but they don't know it? So having that nudge and that proactive coaching is fantastic. So thanks for bringing up that DegreeWorks example.
And building on that, so DegreeWorks, of course, helps our students who are already enrolled, and we are hoping to adopt Program Pathways Mapper for the prospective students to be able to see what their journey might look like here at the college, so that we have clear maps. Right now, we do have maps on our website, program maps, but they're static, and we want to find a way to really be able to update those more automatically and more regularly. So we're excited about that. Hopefully launching soon, but we have conversations to have to get there.
Fantastic. Here's...
Hi, so I've been here a long time, and I know these are simple, but getting information from IT, we never got information when Banner would go down. Students would be upset of why they couldn't get in. So that's really great, as well as facilities. And even the last email that came out because of mid-semester that went out to all... I think it was the... counseling, maybe the counseling office has sent out something that goes out to all students mid-semester if they need any other help, essential, some of the essential support that we have. I think that's really good that the faculty, everybody gets it. So we know, back to the communication, we know what the students are hearing, we know what's going on with the facilities. And whether we think it should have been here a long time ago, it doesn't matter, it's getting better. So I hope it continues to get better, because we could be a lot better in communication. But those are pretty great. I appreciate them.
Yeah. Fantastic.
So the program you were referring to was called is called Metro College Success at San Francisco State. And here at Citi, it's called the Metro Transfer Program. And that was institutionalized here a few years ago. So we don't have as big of a program as at State, but we serve about 10% of the incoming SFUSD students who want to transfer. So that was a big accomplishment.
It is. And my personal connection to that, because I was the leader of the academic technology unit at San Francisco State, and we did e-portfolio workshops here and at SF State so that students would have a visible tracking way to track their progress through the program and evidence that they had specific skills for the transfer, but also for employers. So keep going. Love it that it's been institutionalized. And then your comment about communication makes me think of one more example before I dive into my slides here. Again, it was actually Portland State University, Portland Community College up in Oregon had their own flex day, but they did it virtually. And they had different staff members from around their campus do a panel. And we had faculty on the panel as well, and they looked at ways that they could work together. So it wasn't just, hey, I'm aware of what counselors are doing, but now I'm gonna point it out in my class. Hey, did you read that email from the counselors? These are the services that are available. If you're having this particular problem in this class, here's how it applies to you. So it becomes less of a, what is the phrase? A call to everyone is a call to no one, because again, it's general, it's dear student, but as soon as you personalize it, and even if you're using mail merge back from the 80s, dear Kevin, I'm gonna pay attention, right? And putting calls to action, something I learned when I went to what some people call the dark side. I left San Francisco State and I led this nationwide professional development outfit called Wiley Learning Institute from the publisher Wiley. But one thing I learned, because I didn't have much experience in marketing, is that if you use the word you, Y-O-U, people are 50% more likely to think that they can see themselves in the picture. They will click that button, they will perform that action, they will take to heart what you've asked them to do. So even in my syllabus now, I've changed all the, I've got my official one for the campus, which has to be third person, students will. But then I've got a web liquid syllabus where students see, in this class, you will. If you have problems, contact me. If you are out of time, ask me for an extension. Don't ask AI to write your paper. That's in my syllabus, you can see it. All right, so what about improving the recruitment process? So we heard a gentleman over here talk about embedding people in high schools, and I know concurrent enrollment, at least in some colleges around the country, is a considerable percentage of the enrollment. But here, Cerro Coso implemented this centralized tool, Navigate 360, and they have doubled the number of inquiries and sent almost 450% more prospect communications without increasing the number of staff because they're using the technology in different ways than they had before. And so obviously this publication, EAB, put it out, so it's probably a little self-serving. They wanna show the success stories, but if there are ways of improving with the tools that you have at your disposal, it's worth investigating. San Joaquin Delta College, I was just there a couple weeks ago at their convocation. They used to have lots of different first year experience pathways, and they created one single first year experience charter, which simplified a lot of aspects of the first year experience for the staff in terms of coordinating, in terms of allocating resources, and ensured that all the students had a consistent experience. If you remember, in the last category, we talked about making processes more consistent, but also making the experience more consistent is important as well. Mira Costa College down in San Diego. They have committed to equity-minded scheduling, so we've heard the idea of scheduling pop up here before, using online and flexible course modalities as a way to support students who may be working, may be taking care of children. So they've really leaned into creating flexibility. If you look at student surveys around the country, still cost and flexibility are the top two factors that motivate students to choose a course modality, right? And so thinking about, in their case, they were able to reduce the demand for physical space. They couldn't get all the classes in the rooms because they didn't have enough rooms by allowing the school to be a little bit more flexible and have more high flex and online courses, gave them more ability to use their space wisely. I know in some cases, like I think it was Cal State LA, when the pandemic was officially over, the president said, we're going to be back on ground at least 80% in the room. But that president hadn't heard the students say, we want to continue to have those flexible options so we can keep working like we did during the pandemic. So this strategy from MiraCosta kind of balances that approach. All right. So we heard already one idea. You were ahead of the curve by thinking of the partnerships. What words do you associate with partnerships? What partnership ideas do you have for City College of San Francisco? The floor is yours. And we already have one example, the partnership with San Francisco State for the Metro Academies. Here's one over here.
I think when you talk about strengthening partnerships, I think one of the first things you want to think about is begin to identify what kinds of partnerships, whose. And I think strategically, thinking about what kinds of organizations that you want to establish a presence, create consciousness of City College and its offerings, and investing in it, and thinking about, well, how can I help you? Because you're thinking, I'm picking you because you have some people or something that's going to help City College. And I've identified you as a valuable partner, and I'm going to spend time with you. And so thinking strategically is one of the things I think we should consider. You know, who are some, and this is a, reflects your organization's priorities and as part of your bigger plan going forward. That, and it's not just a one-time thing, but thinking in terms of 3 to 5 years. And that's how you look at these strategic relationships with. Because if you've developed a working relationship over a five-year period, you're going to get some kind of investment back. And I think that's something that we don't think too much about, or at least it's never been articulated to my level down as a counselor, you know, to see that. And I think that is what leadership is about, is to be able to, and I heard a great definition of leadership. Leadership is the luxury of dreaming ahead. And I really think that's a powerful vision, to be able to dream ahead, because I see too much fighting fires all the time, managing things. And that's important, you know, but somebody's got to think about, well, not just today or this week, but how about next month, a year from now? And I talk to my students that same way. Hey, imagine yourself 3 years from now. What's going to be different in your life? Oh, yeah, you'll be 3 years older. That happens to all of us. But what's going to be really different in your life that you want for yourself? And I think that's something that institutions need to think about too. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you.
All right, I wanted to speak to the partnerships. We have several strategic partnerships that are within my division. We are partnered with San Francisco Fire, and that partnership has been over 8 years. Brings in about 200 to 400 FTS per year. We're also partnered with SFPD. That's a very large partnership, and it's growing. We've also are partnering with the Department of Public Health in order to launch a new program at John Adams. But we are also partnered with a lot of clinical sites and other areas. Plus, we have deep partnerships with SF Unify through our CAP.
And for those people online who might not be able to tell, when you say we, is that City College in
general? That is City College in general. That's where all of these MOUs actually exist. And they're longstanding, well over 6 years for all of them.
Fantastic. In the back.
Well, this goes back to my point when I was saying that the communication, right? So this information that she just shared, which is wonderful information, but how many of us knew that? Because when you asked the question, nobody really raised their hand. Had I known that beautiful information, I would have been the first one to say, hey, we do this, we do that. This is our partnerships. So that's something that should be in our newspaper. So that way that we all know who our partnerships are with. That way, if we had a certain group of people that wanted to collaborate and say, let's build partnerships, we don't want them to go back to the fire department. We wouldn't want them to go because it'll be like, hey, we already partnership with you guys, right? So I think that that is good information, but it goes back to communication. Thank you.
And I can imagine you wouldn't want to reiterate every year for 6 years, hey, we have this partnership, but it could be an update. Here's what this partnership accomplished this year. And that helps people see that the partnership is there, keeps it visible. All right. So, one of the obvious connections between partnerships, earlier I talked about the English department partnering with the Emoja program. Here we're seeing that colleges often work with industry partners. They might be looking at labor data and redesigning curriculum. Right now, I know, again, in my role as executive director for the Digital Center, that a lot of districts and colleges are looking for ways, who do we talk to in industry to find out what jobs are being asked to use AI and what are they being asked to do with AI so that we can start redesigning curriculum, because curriculum redesign is already a long process, right? Can be a year, 2 years. By that time, AI is going to be on to something else. We'll be robots driving not only cars, but driving me to drink. wait, are we recording this? So thinking about how we can maybe, like the Cal State University system right now, is working to integrate Google micro-credentials into courses so that when it's appropriate, students might take a 1 week long prompt engineering micro-credential. When they finish the course goes on their transcript, the micro-credential goes on their resume so that employers can see, I have these prompt engineering skills. And so how can we start thinking about light touch ways that maybe we're not going to redesign an entire class, but we are going to support students in the pathways that they choose, because right now an increasing number of jobs are asking students to use artificial intelligence. I wasn't quite sure how much until I went to Gemini and I said, go to Indeed.com, Guru.com, Monster.com, and any other job-related website and find jobs just in the healthcare industry that ask students in the job responsibilities, not the extra qualifications, but you are going to be asked to do this when you're hired, that involve AI. And it just spat out pages and pages. It categorized them. So the important thing is that we're thinking about not just AI, but all the different sectors that we teach, whether it be automotive or nursing, it doesn't matter. Are we preparing students for what they're going to be asked to do when they leave our college? The other aspect of that is not only learning it while they're here, but learning it in context, an authentic context, whether that be an apprenticeship, an internship. So what kind of programs does City College have in that respect to give students opportunities to get practice, and again, resume builders while they're here? And then I already brought up the idea of the micro-credentials, but the idea being that we're helping students get ready for either that transition to transfer or going to work. And I know in certain colleges in the Bay Area, they're seeing a bimodal distribution. They're seeing an influx of high school students who are doing concurrent enrollment, but they're also seeing degree holders come back because they want to get skills that they don't have. They're doing non-credit courses or other courses that will give them AI skills or other things that they don't have, and they want to stay current because the current thinking is it's not AI that's going to take your job, it's somebody who knows how to use AI that's going to take your job. And so I don't know if City College of San Francisco is seeing the same thing, but having degree holder students come back to gain skills, upskill, reskill, whatever word you want to use, that's a population that's, again, when you're thinking about outreach and how do we increase enrollment, that's a group of people to consider. All right, so this one's not very, it's not rocket science, right? Helping students make it easier to move to four-year degrees. I've brought this up in some of the other slides. Participating in intersegmental partnerships. So here we, again, I'll use the Metro Academies as an example, but also thinking about those four-year programs that you might be building or might want to build at City College. Right now, cybersecurity is in huge demand. They're talking about how many hundreds of thousands of people we're gonna be short. So it's not like competition for cybersecurity programs is gonna lead with unmet demand. There's a lot of jobs that we need to fill, and City College can be one of the ones to help fill it, if that's an area of strength for you all. But looking across the space, looking across the market, the labor market data, where are the strengths for City College and where can we start creating opportunities for our students? And then we've already heard some ideas from the group saying, hey, we need to be out in the community. And so that helps students place their educational experience where they live. I know statistics instructors at some Cal State schools have students go back to their community and just record statistics of how many seniors do X or how many cars are parked in this particular parking lot at certain times of day. Having students create opportunities to engage with their communities while they're learning, whether it be through your partnerships with groups like the police department or fire department. I used to teach a class called needs assessment, and we would do needs assessments for real world companies, for other higher ed institutions, and for public institutions like libraries, fire department, etc. And those entities all appreciated having basically someone give them some ideas about how they could improve their either professional development space or other ways that they could support the people who work there. And our students all had a fantastic portfolio piece at the end of the day. So back to you all. And you've talked about some of the partnerships that you've joined, but maybe I'll expand this to the vision. What are some partnerships that you'd love to see? Or maybe they exist and you just don't know about it. Here we go.
I want Fred to tell about partnerships.
We have all sorts of partnerships. It seems I encounter a new one every day. We have with math and engineering, there's a program called, they have
Mesa?
No, I was thinking STEM Core, but they have another name on top of STEM Core, and I can't remember, Growth Sector STEM Core. And through them, we offer specialized math and engineering courses. And then also, speaking of engineering, there's a community program called CAPSA, C-A-P-S-A, but I'm afraid I won't be able to tell you what the letters stand for. And through them, we offer engineering courses out in the Mission neighborhood at our Mission campus. Our auto body program is affiliated with a program called ICAR, I-C-A-R. And again, I'm not going to be able to tell you what that all stands for. And I mean, the list just goes on. At least as far as in the STEM disciplines, we have many partnerships with all sorts of organizations. Yes. Oh, well, and there's our construction program. I mean, that's not a picture of our construction program, but if you head out to the Evans campus, we have the house. Every semester they build the house for half the term and they take it down the other half. Oh, city. That's right. With the city, we have City Build Academy. Thank you. Okay. Sorry. Well, but that's just a program through the city to train construction workers that runs in parallel with our own City College construction program. I want to make sure I mentioned ours first.
Nice. Thank you. We have one here in the middle, and then we will get to the back.
Good morning. Child Development has a few partnerships and high demand classes for people who want to work with early childhood. They were talking about early childhood before. It continues to be in high demand, shortages, of course, of teachers. And so we have partnerships with some of the major community employers. And they are able to set up classes in cohorts. And that helps facilitate groups working together. They get a lot of support from their end. So from the employer's perspective, they provide support for the students and their workforce by way of mentors and coaches and help facilitate being a student, basically. And I think that that's something from my experience with the partnerships we have that is really needed, you know, something that helps guide and orient students to how to get things done, because we who work here forgets how complicated it is for the outside person to figure it out. Even something as simple for, I've had a couple of students this semester who could not get in classes because they didn't know that they had to have their CCSF email functioning. So they didn't know how to do the class add and all of that. So there's little tiny things like that that if you don't know it, it can set you back a semester or so. So we do have three partnerships with major county, DEC, for instance, Department of Early Care, and some of our partnerships or employees who have large numbers of centers and students. And those are really very helpful. It helps us also keep a tab on what's needed in the field. And what's needed, at least in our field, is language capacity. Many, many people who work in this field speak a language other than English.
And we had a hand up in the back.
Our TRIO program here on campus has been interested in building more connections with our alumni. And we've partnered with the Career Center to invite back City College alumni, particularly those who were first generation college students themselves, to come and talk to students here about how they went into the workforce and started building their careers. So coming November for our first gen celebration, we're working hard to get in particular some alumni who are in the first 5 to 10 years out of the college to talk about sectors like tech and healthcare, computer science, where students have a lot of aspirations about how to get in, but maybe hearing some experiences on the ground, including with how people are encountering AI in their day-to-day work lives. So
that's really powerful. And two suggestions based on what I've been seeing around the country. One is, if you're going to have them come to City College to speak, record that if they're willing. And the most interesting spin on recordings, because who's got time to watch an hour panel or what have you? But just taking those videos and chopping them up into one question with one answer becomes what they call near peer coaching, where students can get ideas from people who have gotten where they want to be. And near peer coaching is a phenomenon that probably should be more popular than it is, because it removes the need for someone to be in the same room at the same time. And so just taking those videos and chopping them up and making it so that people can click on the question they want to ask and hearing the panel of students answer it, really powerful. The other thing is, if the alumni are willing, creating a pathway for students to ask them follow-up questions maybe once or in a Discord channel or a Instagram, Snapchat, you know, what the kids are using these days. I'm several years behind in the technology, but all good ideas. And then the last one I'll bring up is an idea that Evergreen Valley College students started when they were transferring to San Jose State. They created a program called Suerte, and like this gentleman here, I don't remember what the acronym stands for, but Suerte in Spanish means luck. And the Evergreen Valley College students who completed the transfer successfully came back to Evergreen Valley and worked with the students who were very close to transfer ability, and they would mentor them. Here are the things you need to do. You need to do this by X date. You should be talking to a counselor. Have you picked a major yet? And so they were increasing the number of students who were transferring just by creating a self-organized mechanism that students supporting students with a little bit of administrative help. Just ideas from what I've seen around the state. I know we have another question in the back.
Well, actually, you just kind of spoke on what I was going to ask, because I don't know. So with the partnerships that we currently have, my question is, do the students ever go out off the campus to kind of get a real visual? You know, sometimes hands-on is better than just people talking to you sometimes, you know. So I'm just wondering, like, you know, those that are preparing to graduate, do they ever get the chance and opportunity to get a hands-on if they're interested in being a firefighter? Do they get to go to the firehouse? Do they get to go out? Do they have an internship? Maybe they do. I'm not saying they don't, but I just wanted to know, because if I ever interact with a student that is interested in being a firefighter or a nurse when they first come in, I would like to have them go to that particular department and say, hey, they got good stuff going on. Go talk to blah, blah, blah. Because sometimes the counselor can't give you the extensive information that that department head, chair may have, or a coordinator in that department. So I just was wondering, do the students ever get a chance or opportunity to have a hands-on field trip or, you know, whatever they may call it? Do they ever get that? Thank you.
I think we have someone who may be able to answer that question up here in the front.
Yes, they do. It's actually a requirement for our firefighters to actually have the live experience. They go out to SFFD. We have a partnership that we're growing with the police department to have people try it out first to find out if they really like it. That's in the very beginning stages of negotiation. All nurses are required to go to clinicals. So whenever you're talking about allied health, part of our programmatic accreditation requires the students to go out and do clinical practice in order to pass the licensure exams.
Yes, fantastic. All right. Let's take a look at some examples that you all haven't described yet, but love all the partnerships that are going on here at City College. So there's a statewide organization called the Institutional Effectiveness Partnership Initiative, And basically, they have this pool of subject matter experts that are on call. And they can, I see somebody nodding their head as if they're either part of this program or have heard of it. Okay, great. So then you are, do you give her the microphone? She can talk about it better than I can. But the idea is that a college expresses a need, they pull in the subject matter experts to provide guidance, they do different site visits, and you can see the most common focus areas, I think it was 35% were integrated planning and resource allocation, and another 30 to 32% was enrollment management. But there was a slew of like 15 different categories where people have been taking advantage of this kind of local within the state help. Similar to what you were just describing, Evergreen Valley College and Rio Hondo College have partnered with Tesla to create the ability for students to get internship or practice being technicians. And so here you have an Evergreen Valley student inside a Tesla with a diagnostic software, but the students are basically gaining the skills they need to jump right into a job when they leave the program. And then San Diego Community College District and its three colleges partnered with a local workforce board, and they created a joint partnership committee focused on aligning training, sharing resources, and developing pathways for high demand fields like social work and other regional needs. So they were basically keeping an eye on where the job needs are and then helping the district and its colleges prepare to meet those needs. So I know we have been chatting for a little bit, but we have about 12 minutes left. And so my challenge to all of you for the rest of Flex Day is to do so with intentionality. Choose the sessions that you're going to see and think what you are going to take from it, how you can strengthen a partnership, improve some operation here at City College, or increase institutional equity. I wanted to leave the last few minutes just for comments and questions. And if we run out of those, I'm always looking for good recipes. So lay it on me. What does this?
A chance for mixed paella.
I'm going to be chatting with the chancellor right after this. But seriously, though, is this useful? Is this? I've loved hearing all the great things that you all are doing here, and I gather from some of your colleagues that it's great for all of us to hear what's going on at City College. It's not a bad reminder that things that have been longstanding successes may not be well visible to people who come in later in the game, who might be new to their positions. So let's figure out ways to keep this spirit of collaboration going. I see a comment or question in the back.
Okay, well, actually, first off, I'd like to thank you for your time, your information, and your expertise. And then I'd also like to thank everybody here who shared information with me that I didn't know anything about, which gives me a chance and opportunity to look in particular programs and just start utilizing what I can do to be more informative to others who I encounter with and to know what our college is actually doing to this day. So when our 2025 school year has kicked off, hopefully by 2026, we'll all be on the same page and understand how to submit a requisition. Thank you.
Setting high bars today. Other comments or questions? Or your own calls to action for folks in the room or online? All right, well, I'll stay here until the end of the time if folks have questions, but I don't want to make you sit in silence for 10 minutes. So thank you all for participating.
And if you want, everybody, please give a big hand to Kevin Kelly, please.
If you want to get a hold of me, my email is on the screen, and then you can also ask William. He can get it to you.
Absolutely. Could everybody hold on for a moment? Remember, today is Indigenous Peoples Day, and so I'd like to invite Nathan Lawless Steele to come and help us out with that. Can you read through?
Hopefully it will be projected behind me. Not that I don't have it memorized, but I think that it's important that we find moments to do land acknowledgments, especially on Indigenous Peoples Day. My alarm clock every morning, I wake up and it's a different, no, it's not, but maybe it should be. And maybe we should use our department meetings to kind of think about ways that we might customize an Indigenous, an acknowledgement of maybe not just the taking of Indigenous people's lands, but the re-education of Indigenous people and some of the other original sins that our country has participated in. Because as we stand and sit here to engage in professional development, the histories and the land in which we are occupying is important, and our pedagogies and our politics are not absent of these histories. So we acknowledge that we are on the unceded ancestral homeland of the Ramaytush Ohlone, who are the original inhabitants of the San Francisco Peninsula. As the indigenous stewards of this land, and in accordance with their traditions, the Ramaytush Ohlone have never ceded, lost, nor forgotten their responsibilities as the caretakers of this place, as well as for all peoples who reside in their traditional territory. As guests, we recognize that we benefit from living and working on their traditional homeland. We wish to pay our respects by acknowledging the ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Ramaytush community, and by affirming their sovereign rights as First Peoples.
Thank you. I just want to, in closing, just to encourage everybody for today, you know, we have a lot of programs that are in workshops that are going on, but we can't do it without you. And so I encourage everybody to consider putting on a workshop and sharing your knowledge with the rest of the college. If you feel that you're not quite ready to make that type of a commitment because maybe you feel you're not prepared to stand in front of everybody and speak in the microphone and be up in front and use your hands like this, we can help you. People on our committee, we're there to support you to be successful. So please reach out to us. Let us know. If you want to do a workshop, we're always encouraging people to share. Okay? So thank you very much and have a great day today. Everybody, take care.
Thank you so much.
Oh, let me get out the way. Oh. I'm trying to get out the way and into the way.